1 Corinthians chapter 14. So seek after love above all things. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophesying. Now, to prophesy doesn't just mean to foretell the future. It means to simply speak forth God's word. The one who speaks in foreign languages, or tongues as some have it, the one who speaks in foreign languages speaks not to others but to God, because nobody understands him. He's speaking apparently secret truths by the power of the Spirit. But the one who prophesies, that is, speaks God's word, speaks to people and assists them, comforts them, and encourages them. The one who speaks in strange tongues is only helping himself, but the one who proclaims God's message through prophecy is helping the whole church. Now, I think that what he's doing here is criticizing how things really were in the church in Corinth. They were misusing God's gifts, or even pretending they had them when they actually didn't. Because the gift of tongues was to speak in foreign languages in order to preach the gospel. You have an example of that in Acts chapter 2. Very clearly, that's what it meant. And yet here he says, but what you're doing is that you are just speaking in tongues to yourselves. So I think he's criticizing them, and he's saying you're not using them rightly. And he's very gentle. He approaches it from the point of view, look, you're all there babbling away with these strange sounds. This is not, of course, the gift of tongues. But you see, he's so gentle and tactful with the Corinthians. He's saying, I think it would be better, don't you, to focus on the gift of prophecy, speaking out God's word, rather than just making all this fuss about making noise. So he says, well, I wish all of you would speak in foreign languages, but I'd rather that you had the gift of prophesying, that is, preaching God's word. For the person who prophesies is of more value than the one who's speaking in foreign languages, unless there's someone present who can interpret, so that the whole church may be built up. So when I come to you, brothers, what use will it be to you if I speak in foreign languages? Nothing at all, unless I also bring some message from God, that's the gift of prophecy, or some inspired message or teaching. So he's saying then that if you don't have an interpreter, then it's pointless to speak to somebody in a foreign language just for the sake of it. If you're saying mumbo-jumbo words and then say, well, there you are, aren't you supposed to be built up by that? Well, no, of course you're not going to be. If people are just making unintelligible sounds, this is not the gift of languages. He's saying you need to have an interpreter to interpret, because otherwise there is no message at all. What is the point of babbling on with these strange sounds for ages and then saying, well, there you are? Well, what? There is no message there. Paul goes on, take lifeless musical instruments like flutes or harps. How will anyone know the tune that's being played unless those notes are sounded distinctly? If the man who hears, who plays the trumpet, doesn't sound a clear trumpet call, who will prepare to battle? In the same way, how can anyone understand what you're talking about if your message is just given in strange words which are not clear? Your words are just spoken into the air. There are many different languages in the world. None of them is without meaning. But if I don't know the language being spoken, the person who uses it will be to me like a foreigner, and I'll be like a foreigner to him. Since you're eager to have these gifts of the Spirit, you must try above everything else to make greater use of those which will build up or edify others. So he's saying that all this talking and funny sounds and mumbo-jumbo is not going to build anybody up. And I think the lesson we can take out of all this is that the essence of everything is to help others. and we must ask ourselves in any context, is what I'm doing actually building up, especially building up the church, building up my fellow believers, or is it just pulling them down, or is it just me, all about me? Because it's not all about me, and it's not about showing off. It's about what I can do for others. So the person who speaks in strange languages then must pray for the gift to explain or interpret what he says. But if I pray like this, maybe my spirit prays, but my mind has no part in it. What should I do then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray also with my mind, with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing also with my understanding. When you give thanks to God in spirit, how can an ordinary person say Amen at the end of your giving of thanks? Because he doesn't know what you're saying. Even if your prayer to God is acceptable, the other person is not helped. So, yeah, if somebody just says mumbo-jumbo sounds, and then at the end everyone is supposed to say Amen, which means so be it, I agree, well, how can they if this is just mumbo-jumbo language that's not even language, just making sounds? As he says, it sounds into the air. And as I say, the abiding principle is whatever we do must be to help others, and that is the principle. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Well, I suppose Paul did, because he was a missionary. He was going around to different countries preaching the gospel, and so he had the real gift of tongues, the real gift of speaking in foreign languages. But in church worship, I'd rather speak five words that can be understood so that I might upbuild others than thousands of words in languages that you can't understand. Do not be like children in this matter. Be mature. You must be as children as far as malice is concerned, but be mature in your thinking. So in the scriptures it's written, by means of men speaking in foreign languages I will speak to my people, says the Lord. I will speak through lips of foreigners, but even then my people will not understand me. So I think he's saying that when Judah sinned, they were to go into captivity amongst people who didn't speak their language. And so he's saying that if in the church you're speaking in these languages that other people can't understand, then that's a bit like acting as if you've all been carried off into captivity, as if you're condemned. So then, the gift of speaking in foreign languages is to be used for unbelievers, not for believers. While the gift of prophecy, that is speaking forth the word of God under inspiration, is for believers. So, you can understand why the gift of tongues was intended for unbelievers, because to speak in a foreign language was in order for you to build up the people who had not heard the gospel, so that in your missionary work you could take the gospel to areas that didn't speak your language. This makes sense, and yet unfortunately in a lot of churches this idea of speaking in tongues, so-called, is used just amongst their own members. So Paul says, if then the whole church comes together and each one starts to speak in a language, and if some ordinary people or unbelievers come in, won't they say that you're all mad? But if each one is prophesying when some unbeliever walks in, he will be convicted of his sin by what he hears. He'll be judged by what he hears. The secrets of his hearts will be revealed. He'll bow down and worship God, confessing truly God is amongst these people. So then this then should be the effect of preaching the gospel, that people are convicted of their sin. And you're not going to convict people of their sin by just shouting mumbo-jumbo at them. Paul says, this then is my intention, brethren, that when you meet for worship, each person has a hymn, a teaching, a message from God, and others interpret what is said. Everything must be done to build up the church. If someone is going to speak in foreign languages, that's the true gift of tongues, only two or three at the most should use it. Well, logical, because it's unlikely that in any church meeting there's going to be more than two or three different groups of languages where people mutually don't understand each other. And especially, I guess, he's talking in the context of how they were in Corinth. And there must be an interpreter. But if there is no interpreter, then the one who speaks in the foreign language must be quiet and speak only to himself and to God. Two or three who are given the message of God by prophecy should speak it forth, while the others are to judge what they say, that is, whether it's a genuine message from God. But if somebody sitting in the meeting of the church receives a prophecy from God, the one who is speaking should stop. So they were not to interrupt each other and talk over each other. So the idea of loads of people talking in so-called tongues at the same time is absolutely wrong. But if somebody receives the message from God, all of you should proclaim God's message, but one by one, so that each one will learn and be encouraged. That is, not all speaking at the same time. The gift of prophecy is under the control of the prophet. So people do not go out of their minds. This is not the case at all. Because God does not want disorder, but he wants unity and peace. As in all the churches of God's people, the women should be silent in the meetings. They are not permitted to speak, as the law says. If they want to find out something by asking, they should ask their men at home. It is a disgraceful thing for a woman to speak in the church. Or could it be that the word of God came out from you, or are you the only ones to whom it came? If anyone thinks that he is a spiritual person, he must agree that what I'm writing is the Lord's command. And if he ignores it, then ignore him. So then, brethren, focus upon prophecy, proclaiming the word of God. Don't forbid speaking in languages, but all things must be done in a decent and orderly way.